This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on Radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hit Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes at night.
You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Stream all 4 hours of the Men's Room radio program live anywhere you go when you download the Radio.com app. And joining us now, great radio stations like WAAF, Boston's legendary rock station. Our friends down in New Orleans at the Bayou on Bayou 95.7 and 1210 The Man in Miami, Florida. 844-999 Ola, today is our random question.
Miles, yeah, you asked the guy, who would play you in a movie about your own life? It could be based on looks, based on personality.
Sure.
As it turns out, this guy has a full gray beard, full gray head of hair. He's pissed off all the time because he's an a-hole. These are the words he used.
Mm-hmm.
So he said Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Like, you nailed it. And then, Ted, who would you have play? You said Christian Bale.
Correct.
That's ridiculous. By the way, Miles, he is 6 feet tall.
But maybe I should backtrack to Jack Black.
Okay, it's funny you say that, Ted. The comments are coming in on people they believe, actors that could play you pretty accurately in a movie. Jack Black is one of them. Someone else says Ted is in denial. It would be Danny DeVito, followed by Danny DeVito.
Huh.
This one I think is strong. It says James Corden with a beard could play Ted in a heavy year. Someone else says Seth Rogen as the Ted Smith. That from Marv. Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito, come on.
Wait, I swear to God. Jonah Hill, that's a pretty good
call. That's not bad.
Jonah Hill, let's see, Woody Harrelson, and my favorite so far, John Malkovich. Oh, wait. Kevin James.
Kevin James isn't bad. This will sound crazy, but I'm literally a foot taller than Danny DeVito.
Really?
He's only 4'10".
Damn.
Random.
I can make fun of him.
Well, look, a lot of people, they think Danny DeVito. They think Ted Smith.
Well, Christian Bale already got the role, folks, so. Sorry.
Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Jesse, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's see here. Jesse, what didn't mean what you thought it meant? What did not mean what you thought it meant? There's all kinds of... Go ahead.
I was in Costa Rica one time, and my buddy told me to order a Bolivia or a drink from the bar, but that's a country, not a drink, and so I had no idea, and the bartender looked at me like I was an idiot, and all my buddies started laughing at me, and so I didn't know what that one meant.
So you realized it was another country.
He wanted you to order a Bolivian, is that what you said?
A Bolivia.
Yeah. Bolivia. Well, I would think that you wanted cocaine, to be honest with you.
That would have been my phone. Wait right here.
Amigo. Yeah, I'll be right back. How much cash you got?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody ordered. Yeah, absolutely.
Bolivian. Well, didn't you think that when you were in Mexico that Marlboro Reds were something else other than...
I'm there for a week, all right, and there's a little corner store, and every day I would go in there and get myself a pack of Marlboro Reds, get a cup of coffee, get a pack of Marlboro Reds. But like any place, a cigarette's behind the cashier. The thing about this place, everyone that went there, they just didn't like the guy that ran the place. The guy who's always behind the cashier. Mm-hmm. Like, man, he's an a-hole, he's this, he's that, he's mean, whatever. I never had a problem with this guy. In fact, when I walked in for a week straight, when he saw me, he smiled, right? And I'm like, because I'm a good guy. I'm a cool guy. He can smell the cool on me. That's why everyone else does not like him. But this dude recognizes cool for cool. So every day, I'm getting my un pack of Marlboro Rosa. And he'd hand them to me with a big old smile, and he'd ring me up and send me on my way. So on my last day, I get one more pack. Un pack, Marlboro Rosa. Like, hey man, you know Rosa means pink. Like, ooh. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Marlboro Rojo.
I swear to God, it's terrible, but I grew up thinking it was colored greens. Not collared. Colored.
Yeah, I remember the first time mm-hmm. you sprang that out.
And
Ted corrected
I remember
you.
The first time that I thought, that's surely not right. It's colored greens, right? No, it is not. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, I believe that was on the air.
It was. Oh, yeah, it was on the air.
Yeah, in Baltimore.
My bad. Yeah.
Dude, seriously.
That's when I went over the city.
Yeah. Kind of gave me this quick look like, did you say colored greens?
Yeah, there's more. The reason we asked what didn't mean what you thought it meant, the Buffalo Bills were in the midst of putting the finishing touches on their win over the Dolphins on Sunday when CBS play-by-play announcer Spiro Dinas, is that how you say his name?
Something like that.
And his commentator Adam Archuleta got into a discussion about grooming. Archuleta buttoned up the conversation by saying, one has to ask themselves, a $30 tie or a $30 mustache? Dinas replies, can we get you to grow the stash by next week? And that's when Archuleta responds a little too confidently that he could probably squeeze out maybe a dirty Sanchez, not a real full one. Well, the problem with that is that's really not a reference to an actual mustache made out of facial hair.
Right.
It's a reference to a very different kind of mustache that we're not going to explain right here on the radio. But that's not the best thing to infer during a live national broadcast that reaches millions of people. And right on before 60 Minutes, by the way. So, yes, I believe they did let him in on what that
tonight
actually
on
meant.
60 Minutes, euphemisms.
Random.
By the way, the comments are flooding in now for who... Random, don't start smiling, Ted. To who to play you in a movie, but all of us, all right? People are now... We've all been cast. Here's some that have come in. Ted, they're saying Jonah Hill... For me, Danny Glover.
Yeah, okay.
Miles, Steve Buscemi,
thank you so much.
Steve Buscemi.
Come on.
I don't know where he gets worse than there. Someone else.
Clint Howard.
Says, dude, Clint Howard shows up. Ron Howard. Says, Ted is super nice, friendly, jovial, and pleasant. Christian Bale's a mega douche. It won't work, brother. We continue.
That's exactly why.
Zach Galifianakis, saying to play Ted.
That's not a bad guess.
We have this one that says, Mike Hawk would be Seth Rogen. Thrill be Dave Chappelle. Ted, Danny DeVito, Miles, Ron Howard. Someone else says Miles can be played by Tilda Swinton.
Oh, thank you.
Tilda Swinton.
So nice to have all of you there. So much fun.
Don't forget about Robin.
Random.
Don't give me that look. I don't want you to feel excluded.
Just swear.
Random. Thanks for nothing.
Show them the picture.
Me. You know what she looks like, Miles?
I don't. Oh, yeah. Oh, girl. All right. I'm fine with that.
There you go.
I'm fine. I'm completely fine with that. I think, is she in town? No. I think it's somebody else.
Hello, Jess. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Jess, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, Jess, let's see what we got here for you. Okay. Why don't we go with this one? Jess, what did you really want for Christmas? It could be something you wanted as an adult, but something you really desperately wanted as a child. That seems to be more of the wheelhouse for people who really, really want something that they maybe don't have a chance of getting. Do you remember that one thing that you really wanted as a gift?
I do, and coincidentally, I mean, this might sound cliche, but I really wanted a BB gun, and my mom absolutely refused to get me a BB gun. And a couple years later, my uncle ended up getting me one. Well, it wasn't like the Red Ryder, the Daisy. It was like plastic pellets, like an airsoft gun. But yeah, that was the one thing that I was so upset that she wouldn't give me this stupid BB gun.
What? How old were you? Do you remember?
I think I was like seven or eight.
That seems to be the time when I wanted one.
Well, sure, man. It's a gun, and you're a kid.
and she just didn't want a gun in the house with you with it?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I mean, I grew up, you know, I'm the first born out of my sibling, my half siblings, and so like, all the other neighbor kids had siblings, and, you know, we'd all go out, play outside and stuff like that. And, you know, they had all the cool stuff, but then they were, like, constantly getting in trouble for, you know, just shooting at squirrels with their BB guns. And I think maybe my mom just didn't want me doing that.
I was going to say, what were you going to use it for? Do you remember?
I just wanted to have one because everyone else did, and it seemed like fun, and, you know.
Well, sure. I do remember this. I was responsible for, when I got my BB gun, I was way responsible for it because...
How old were you?
I was about 8 or 9.
Okay.
And the reason that I was responsible
for Miles got one
was because I got a Daisy rifle. And a Daisy rifle, we could actually have BB gun wars and shoot them at each other.
That's why your parents don't want to.
Is it like lead poisoning if you get one of those like stuck in your arm or
absolutely
something? Like,
sure you can. But our deal was this was our version of paintball.
Sure.
Okay. No safety goggles, no nothing. We're just dumb kids. We don't know what's going on. That's what we did. But if we were good with them, then I could get a Crossman.
which was in fact a pellet gun, which
right.
was a pump action, which was, you know, so my goal was just to not F this up. And then eventually I got a Crossman. Unfortunately, at that point in time, you can no longer use that to do any kind of those other activities.
Oh, really?
Oh, you'll
pellet guns are
they'll break the skin.
Stepping up a little.
Okay, well, I know, man. I've been shot with the freaking pellet guns.
I had a BB gun too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you ever shoot anybody?
Just DP.
My father bought one for a while when I was a teen, and I always remember, I never knew he shot guns, right? Text this guy. So he's like, come here, man. And it's just his BB gun. And there's a fly outside, I swear to God. And he's like, pumping it up, shoots the fly. And then those little red berries on the, whatever those bushes are. Those little, I don't know, it's 12, 15 feet away, whatever. Just kind of aims it and just picks the berry off. And I'm like, it's a scary man.
Yeah, I had a rifle, but I had to get rid of it because the neighbors kept complaining.
Why? Why
were running outside with a rifle?
Because I was shooting a rifle in the backyard.
You shoot it at their house?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I may have been shooting in the direction of their home.
Oh.
I was setting up targets in a little playhouse we had, and they were like, you can't shoot here. And I was like, I'm a good shot. It's fine.
No. Yeah,
but Allie had the rifle for like a week and had to sell it back.
Damn.
The reason we asked, what did you really want for Christmas? They say when you have no real concept of how much things cost and what goes into earning enough money to pay for those, you don't realize that a brand new Ferrari when you're a kid costs more than some people's homes or something that small. But by age 10, they expect that somebody has at least some semblance of the world and how it works. Except for this kid in question, apparently has not grasped how the world works. This dad on Twitter went viral after sharing his 10-year-old daughter's Christmas list that includes $10,000 in items, ranging from a live rabbit to straight-up cash. The list includes an iPhone 11, AirPods, a new MacBook Air, a live rabbit, a Hydro Flask water bottle, those are nice,
mm-hmm.
clothes, makeup, pink Pumas, Gucci slides, a Chanel purse, essential oils, an American Girl doll, car, new shoes, earrings, jewelry, checkered van, a GoPro, pink duct tape, food coloring and laundry detergent, clothes for the live rabbit, $4,000 in cash, a doll camper, a doll's big sitter, a little doll something, a chalet or something, new sheets and a cover, and a brand new alarm clock. In the same list, she asked for an alarm clock, laundry detergent, $4,000 in cash, and some Gucci slides. $10,000.
Yeah, Santa doesn't love you like that.
No, Santa doesn't love anyone like that.
He sure as hell doesn't.
You're listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
If you're just joining us or you missed the show, all episodes of the Men's Room are available on radio.com. All right, it is our random question. Question 844-999-OLA.
Kind of opened up the can of worms, as it were. People started casting the Men's Room radio show as a movie. All right, all started with who would play Ted. Well, now they're saying it for the Ted Smith, Seth Rogen. For me, Samuel L. Jackson, Miles, Tom Hanks, Mike, they say Monk. I assume they just mean Tony Shalhoub. Is that the guy's name? Just be Monk. And finally, Robin, Ellen. Not so bad,
okay.
Right? But it keeps on that. Someone else comes in, it's very similar. It says for Ted, Jason Alexander. For Thrill, Samuel L. Jackson. For Miles, Jeff Bridges. For Mike, Adam Devine or Devine. I don't know. Who the hell was that? Would I know them from somewhere?
Adam Devine.
Workaholics.
He's in a lot of rom-coms right now. He was in Isn't She Lovely?
What else was he in? Pitch Perfect, if you had to see that.
So there's no chance
kids.
I've seen this guy. What you're saying?
Never saw Workaholics?
Would have made you
never
watch.
Saw Workaholics. And finally, right. Again, for Robin, Ellen. People are strong.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
All right, that sounds good.
Random, all right, random, better than Danny DeVito, champ.
Fair.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
very fair.
It's Ellen.
Yeah, I'm willing to put on a few years because I don't
Ellen.
Have to be the penguin, so I'm
right.
Good.
Miles and I was... Danny DeVito, and then who's the other guy?
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
For Miles. Someone else picked Gina Davis also to play Miles.
Please.
Thanks.
Hello, Michael. Welcome to the Men's Room.
I'm hot.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hola. Mike, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's go with this one. What have you done in your life as kind of a side hustle? Just a way to make some extra cash. What was your side hustle?
I have split and sold wood, firewood before.
Oh, no, firewood train. All right.
All right. And how do you get, do you have the property?
I had my pops did, yeah.
Okay, so he was just clearing land and you were able to go out there and just cut down trees?
No. Hustling some people to hustle some people, and then the wood just kind of shows up.
Wow. That's very vague.
And how much does a cord go for?
It kind of depends on what type of wood it is. Anywhere from $150 to $300 if you got it showing up at your house.
Well, what kind of wood did you have access to?
The good stuff.
And he just randomly appeared? Is that what I'm guessing happened here?
No, it's friends that needed land cleared. Hey, make this tree go away. Hey, we have this tree pulled out and it's just sitting here. Can you guys make it move?
Okay. And how long does it take you to break down an entire tree?
Oh, depends on the size, but I don't know. Could be 2 hours, could be 6, 7, 8 hours.
And what's and per tree, what would you say is a realistic amount of money that you can get out of it?
It's about $200 to $250 a cord, but the tough part is it's a lot of labor and there's a lot of people doing it now. So, I mean, unless that's your calling in life, there's not a whole lot of money in it, but it's a fantastic exercise.
Yeah, and so is it one cord or two cords per tree maybe?
Oh, no, much more than that. It depends on how big it is. You can have a tree that's, you know, 6, 7 cords. You can have one that's, you know, a little bit thinner, and it's only a cord or two.
So. Okay. All right. Well, that's not how I used to split wood for the Boy Scouts when I was a kid. And we used to sell it. That's how we made our money.
Really?
Yeah.
See, man, here's the thing with the Boy Scouts. Granted, I only did it for 1 year before I got kicked out and for very good reasons. But either way, you have to raise money. At one point, we had to go door to door to sell light bulbs. And I knew this was a bad idea from the jump because no one's ever like, thank God you're here because I need a light bulb. But people get it for the Boy Scouts, so part with money. I'm not saying I'm a role model. We sold them for $2 a piece. I charged $3 and kept $1 for each
one.
It's
not bad at all.
Okay, right. But when you had to raise money, you had to split wood.
Well, we chopped trees down.
When your daughters were in Girl Scouts and had to raise money, what did they have to do?
They had to give me a sheet so I could take it to work to sell Girl Scout cookies, which then I picked up, distributed, collected the funds for the Girl Scouts America, and then turned that in on their behalf.
That's what I'm saying. So it just seems to me the Boy Scouts have to do stuff to earn money. The Girl Scouts, at least my understanding is, I just sit here at work, and I know when the season is hit because every person has a Girl Scout in their family.
I will only defend the Girl Scouts.
Here's why.
Because I had to do it for a year and it was horrible.
What did you do?
It was so boring. That's the only reason I defend that we don't have to go door to door. Because one, it's sort of dangerous, and also, Scouts get to do things like go camping and
they
learn survival skills, and you actually get to go do things in nature. I burn myself with a hot glue gun more times than I
do. You don't know how often I use those survival skills too. And my knot tying is spot on, and orienteering is amazing.
Also, the Boy Scouts just have better quality, like the Girl Scouts, like, yeah, we got cookies. We got a bunch
of them. What else? What else do you have?
But the Boy Scouts, like, pimp popcorn. I saw a bunch.
That's the word they want you to use.
Okay, my bad.
I'm pretty sure it says in the Boy Scout manual, we're not here to sell anything. I'm from the Boy Scout. We're here to pimp. Mm-hmm. We're here to pimp this up.
Yeah, I think one Boy Scout, I bought turtles off him.
Chocolate
animal. With caramel.
You had a Boy Scout
live turtles.
No, I
mean. Candy.
I was like, what?
They got to do something else other than the cookies, obviously.
I'm just saying, they got a nice variety.
Reason we asked what was or is your side hustle, a Minnesota college student who turned a city's love of Krispy Kreme into a side hustle and who was briefly banned by Krispy Kreme for reselling the donuts before the company changed its tune. They awarded him an independent operator title. Now he's been giving a new Daimler delivery van to make his operation run a bit smoother.
Huh.
Each weekend, Jason Gonzalez would drive 540 miles round trip from Minneapolis-St. Paul to a Krispy Kreme store in Clive, Iowa to load his car up with 100 boxes. There are no location of Krispy Kreme donuts in the state of Minnesota.
Gonzalez would then return to the Minneapolis-St. Paul area to sell the donuts, charging around 17 to 20 per box. Now, the boxes cost him about $8 before travel expenses. After his little business made headlines, Krispy Kreme asked Gonzalez to shut down his money-making scheme, citing product quality and regulatory compliance concerns.
Oh, come on.
But the chain eventually came around and decided to help Gonzalez achieve his goals, which included being debt-free when he graduates, in part by selling Krispy Kreme donuts. He was doing this so he could pay for his education. Donut chain said that it would then allow Gonzalez to continue to resell its donuts and even donated 500 boxes to get him started again. So they stepped up, bought him a vehicle, and gave him 500 boxes of donuts for free.
So, but is he selling them for more? Is he doing what I did with the light bulbs? Like, he hey, is. Man, okay.
Yeah, he's buying them for $8 a box. He is then driving the car 540 miles round trip. He's doubling the price when he gets to Minnesota. They don't have any Krispy Kremes in that area. Then he's taking that money, and he's basically just paying down a student debt.
Okay. There used to be Krispy Kreme fundraisers, too.
What do you mean?
Like when I grew up, there was no Krispy Kremes in that area. You had to go down south, right? Like, sure. If you went to the Carolinas, it was a big deal to get Krispy Kremes. But there was, like, they'd run fundraisers where, like, you could buy boxes of them.
You want to talk about first world problems. Like, hey, man, we got a fundraiser tonight. Come on down to the shed. We're going to get some Krispy Kreme donuts up in here.
Now, if I'm a franchiser or somebody that has that kind of money, and you've already told us with the head chef how much these franchises cost. One of the ones we did not get was Krispy Kreme. We'll assume it's millions and millions of dollars.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they're independently owned or if they go in like In-N-Out and pick their own location. But in the sense that you're Krispy Kreme, wouldn't you think it might be a good idea to put one of these locations in that area?
That would be my first thought.
Based on the demand? I mean, how in the heck can you have such a major metropolitan area that, let's face it, survives on coffee because it's dark there.
Right.
And it's cold. And that time of the year, people love a good donut in the morning.
I'll tell you what. Tim Hortons
does pretty well, and it's pretty close to there.
I'd open a franchise and just make that dude the manager. Like, look, you get to manage this joint, get out of college.
Yeah,
random.
I say that only because people listen. The truth is, I'd have had his kneecaps broken. You don't move my product across state lines.
And I told you, Krispy Kremes are international, right? We saw in Ireland.
Saw what happened in England with them.
Right. And then when I was in England, it was shocking. People were going nuts for Krispy Kremes at the game.
Really?
Oh, my God. The German dudes, it was like the highlight of their trip. They had three Krispy Kremes.
Now, I want you to think about this. In Europe, apparently, Krispy Kremes make you crazy. In America, a Popeye's chicken sandwich makes you crazy.
Something out there for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Whoops.
What's going on, guys?
How are you, Mike? Welcome to the program. Random question. Okay, let's go with this one. How did a parent embarrass you? How were you embarrassed by one of your parents? Or maybe both?
Oh, wow. Which one? Let me pick one. my dad was always on a football field when I played football in high school. And he was a doctor. And I had no way of getting out of a game if I got hurt or anything else, because my dad was always that guy. Not so much raving like a lunatic, but a very strong presence. And all my teammates, even though we all got along, they'd always be like, yo, dude, what's up with your dad? And if I ever got injured and I came hobbling off the field, my dad would just kind of look at it, just say, oh, could be hanging from an artery, my leg.
Right.
And he would be just like, get back in there, you're fine. And everybody would always give me crap about my dad.
Did he do the same thing with other players, or did he give them a little bit more leniency?
So he didn't care about the other players. No, it was just my dad. He wasn't a coach.
So he wasn't a doctor on the field, because there's a doctor that needs to be on the field during a high school game or whatever. He wasn't that guy.
Exactly, yes. He was not that guy. He was the other guy.
Okay. How about your mom? How did she embarrass you?
Huh?
I said, how did your mom embarrass you? You said, which one? So that was the dad. How did your mom?
My mom was cool. My mom would always dote on me, and my mom would, you know, my mom was a very loving person, so she'd always dote on me. And, you know, to those teenage years, it's, you appreciate your parents, you love them, but you kind of don't want them doting on you because you're just trying to be your own cool self.
Oh, that's the best part about being a parent when your kids are in high school. Like, no, I'm pulling right up front.
Right.
Yeah. Roll down the window and say something ridiculous. Like, you know, come on, baby.
It always seems like it's the dads that are embarrassing. Moms will embarrass you, but they don't really mean to.
Yeah, like they say, fart in public.
Or they'll just tell a story or something that they think is cute. Or they'll tell the coworker that you think she's attractive.
Right, but their intent is not bad. Dads are straight up like, Tommy pooped your pants this morning.
Oh, I had all kinds of plans. I used to crank up just basically one of the hip-hop stations in town.
Yeah,
roll the windows down and pull into the high school. Just thump it.
Yeah,
come on, let's go. Yeah, sometimes it's country music just to mess with them. It didn't matter what it was. I thought it was funny. The reason we asked,
but he's right. Listen, Ted, honestly, the only reason we do it to our kids, like, I know you don't find it funny, man. I know it's getting on your nerves, and you're probably right. I really should stop, and I know you keep asking me to, but honest to God, I find it hilarious.
I blasted and Taylor Swift one day into the parking lot, man. It was just loud as can be, man. I was like, yeah, Taylor Swift. It was on. I was just searching. I was like, that's it. Reason we asked how to parent and embarrass you.
Wait, how mad are your kids when they get in the car?
Well, I mean, my other daughter thought it was funny.
That's one of them. Yeah, how about the other daughter?
The one that was image conscious thought that it was a little bit much. I didn't care.
A little bit much.
That's why I did it.
Yeah.
A Lakeland man was arrested Friday after deputies say he punched an umpire in the face following a youth baseball game. The reason we asked how a parent embarrassed you, Alberto Ramos, 22, faces a charge of felony battery on a sports official. According to the affidavit, Ramos went to the clubhouse after a game his nephew had played to complain about a call. He began screaming at the umpire, deputy said, and the umpire politely asked him to leave the ballpark. Ramos screamed at the umpire that he would kick his ass. Then he punched him in the face, cutting his lip, breaking one of his teeth out. In addition, the umpire's nose was bleeding profusely, according to the 911 call. Perrin just got into an altercation, punched one of the umpires. We're trying to get him to leave the park, and he wouldn't leave the umpire alone. The umpire said, you need to go, and they just started swinging. He was released from jail after posting $1,000 bail.
By the way, Ted, to your comment, the Krispy Kreme is international. Guy says, I was in Japan in April, and there was a Krispy Kreme in Tokyo. They had a bunch that you wouldn't be able to buy in the U.S.
Yeah, all I can tell you, just it shocked me. I was just like, wow, people like it, but it's such an American thing. I think everybody just wants to try it.
And they're good, man. They are good. Hello, Lonnie. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Lonnie, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, Lonnie, let's go back in time here a little bit. Where did you used to hide and stash things? You don't have to give up your current location, but where did you used to hide and stash things?
When I was a kid, I was, candy was kind of like my first drug. I love gummies to this day, but like, I actually used to have a stash spot in the middle of my mattress, and I would be so worried when I was like, you know, 10, 11 years old, because when my parents would come in and say goodnight to me, I was scared to death that they'd hear the candy wrappers when I was moving around on the mattress, because it was literally like, in the middle of the mattress. I thought I was so covert, having the sheet all covered in this tiny little hole and then reaching way in. But yeah, middle of my mattress.
For gummies.
So you actually had a hole in your mattress that you hid stuff down inside of it?
Correct. Like, you kind of go in on the side. You know, I actually made the hole myself, too. It's not like I found it one day. I just had the incredible idea of like, oh, okay, I'll stash it in the mattress.
I'm starting to think you might have a problem.
I'm up with all the money.
So you intentionally cut a hole in the middle of your mattress just for the gummy stash?
Yeah, the sad thing was is I used a butter knife to do it. It took forever to make the hole.
Did your parents ever discover that you cut a hole in the side of the mattress?
Gummy hole.
So, yeah, that's the funny thing is they actually did because my parents were divorced. So when I went, I lived with my dad and my stepmom. So when I went to my mom's for the summer, my dad and my stepmom had moved houses. And I guess when they moved, I forgot to empty out the stash spot. And
the gummy hole.
When they picked up the mattress, they heard all the rustling from the candy wrappers, and they giggled at me. I didn't get in a whole lot of trouble, but they told me not to stash stuff in the mattress.
That's pretty impressive, though, as a kid, to butter knife into a mattress and have to hide gummy. Your candy.
Create a gummy
think
hole.
Think of all the stuff, though, you could find. Like, all right, you're hiding candy.
Right. That's,
like you're on drugs or something.
That's why they giggled.
Right.
He used to write a children's book called Lonnie's First Gummy Hole.
I had this plan where if I had a valuable baseball card or if I had money that was given to me, I would hide it in a book in my bookshelf.
Why did you have to hide money that was given to you? Who in your house did you think would steal it?
To be honest with you, my brother.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He'd come take my money. Absolutely would.
I didn't think about it till Thrill spelt it out. Like,
yeah, like wait a minute. It was given to you. Let these people know.
Baseball cards, I wasn't sure. Probably one of my friends. But as far as like cash, you know, like if you get like a $20 bill for a gift or something, like I'm stashing this, don't go in the movies, whatever. And I put stuff in books that I could never find. Like, and then when my mom moved out all the stuff in my room after I'd moved out, she threw away and gave away a lot of my books. So most of those books had money in them, and most of those books had baseball cards in them and other stuff, like notes that I was hiding.
How much money do you think you gave away? About $200 in the course of life.
Well, you know, even at that age, I made this pact to myself, like, look, okay, if I get $20, I'm going to spend $10, but I'll keep the other $10 just in case I run out of money.
Right,
so I always had money just in case I needed the money. I just can't remember where I put half of it. I don't remember the books. I don't remember which ones I put them in, but they were the bigger ones I had.
So did she give the, are these books you'd give to a kid? In other words, did an 8-year-old kid open it and make $10 off your dumb
ass? These are books that basically when my brother and my sister was back there cleaning out stuff and some of those books that they saved. Do you want these old books? Do you want this stuff? No, I don't need those books.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw them away. So they were all thrown away as far as I know.
Damn, I need that cash, though.
I know. Reason we ask, where do you hide or stash things? Following his arrest for possession of a hypodermic needle containing meth, a 380-pound Florida man was hit with additional felony charges after jail personnel discovered a bag of meth wedged deep within the belly button cavity of the defendant. Police responded Friday to a suspicious person call placed by an employee of McDonald's in Clearwater, and they arrested Martin Skelly with a search of the 41-year-old resident turned up the loaded needle. Following his arrest for possession of narcotics and drug paraphernalia, cops asked him if he was in possession of any other contraband, since he could face additional charges if he's brought illegal items into the county jail. So he said, look, I don't have any additional contraband on my person. However, during intake processing at the jail, Skelly was subjected to a thorough body search that resulted in the discovery of a bag containing 2.7 grams of meth. A jail deputy reported the baggie was wedged very, very deep within his belly button cavity.
How deep do you think his, like, is it like a Chilean mine? Like, I just picture, like, it just doesn't end.
After this was found, he said, I wasn't even thinking it was in there. Discovery of the hidden meth resulted in two additional felony charges being filed against Skelly. His criminal record indicates a 3-year stretch in state prison for coke trafficking and bust for theft, drunk driving, narcotics possession, violating probation, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Deep within the belly button cavity.
That is so gross to me, man. Random, I mean, I know they check, like, your rectum and all that. I get it. There's just something about deep in your belly button cavity.
Clearwater is a humid,
that's what I mean, man,
and hot place. When it rains in Clearwater, it gets hotter.
Yeah.
Do you remember that movie Alien? Do you remember the sound effect they played every time the alien showed up? That's what I picture it sounding like when you're sliding your arm elbow deep into this guy's body.
Found it! More than a question coming up, 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
If you're just joining us or you missed the show, all episodes of the Men's Room are available on radio.com. And all right, it is our random question. Question 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Elliot.
Random,
welcome
random,
to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
What's up, Ted?
What's going on?
Elliot, welcome to the program. Random question. Question. Let's see here. Ted, by the way, looks unbelievably excited to hear from you. Let's go with this one. What would you say is the scariest person in your family? Who is your scariest family member?
I mean, I have family members that are just generally dangerous, and I'm impressed that they haven't died yet. So if that counts, then that counts, I guess.
Yeah, and why do you think, and how is this person related to you?
So he's my uncle, and he's like a thrill seeker, and so, I mean, multiple times he's had, like, life-threatening injuries, and then, you know, he's just kind of, like, back up doing his thing.
And what, but I mean, like, well, what's his thing that he has these life-threatening injuries? What's he into?
He's into, like, motocross a lot, like, you know, dirt bikes, ATVs, okay. That kind of deal.
All right, that's not so bad.
One time this guy was, he was, like, bombing through the forest, and he was really moving, and he hit, like, a stump or something like that, and so he got bent really far off his bike, and he, like, hit a tree. And so he broke, like, 6 vertebrae in his back and managed to ride the dirt bike back home.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
You just waiting to get the news one day?
So would you be scared of him, like, if you were in the car with him? Like, is he one of those guys? Like, he's like, watch this.
Right, you know, still like, seeking a thrill.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure I haven't really had to ride in the car with him a lot. He used to be a race car driver. He used to be down at the Spanaway Speedway.
So he's always been, like, he's always been an adrenaline junkie.
Oh, yeah. Everything he does.
And as far as being your uncle, does he like, is he like an uncle? Does he take you out for beers? Does he, you know what I mean?
No, I mostly just meet him at, like, family campouts and stuff like that, and where he judges my crap because I always bring some piece of crap car, you know?
Okay.
Fair enough. Okay.
Reason we ask, who is your scariest family member? You guys have a scary family member? Anybody you'd rather just stay away from?
They're scary. I don't feel in danger of any of them, but there's the one cousin who I always bring up, but I would not trust him in my home. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, like, my dad doesn't scare me, but if I had, like, it seems like at any time he could get sent into trouble. Or, like, a fist fight.
Well, if you had a dog, would you say, Dad, watch my dog for an hour while I go to the store?
No.
Okay.
An hour?
What's the limit? What's the limit on watching your dog?
How long can your dog go without having to be walked?
That's probably, you know.
If it's 4 hours, then he could watch it for 3.
4 hours, something like that. Reason we ask, who is your scariest family member? Man, oh man, is this a story out of a very small town in India. The town is called Kerala. A woman, police made an unbelievable discovery about a woman who they believe has killed 6 relatives over 14 years.
Jeez.
Jolly Joseph.
Are you kidding?
A 47-year-old mother of 2 sons was arrested in October for the murders of her first husband and 5 others between 2002 and 2016. And police say that, yes, in fact, she has confessed to the killings. Joseph appeared before a judge who ordered that she remain in custody. Shocked neighbors described her as pious, and her sister-in-law said Joseph was smart and jovial. But in the press, she has come to be known as the cyanide killer for the use of the fast-acting poison that police claim was responsible for the deaths. Initially, it was quite unbelievable for everyone. The killings are a rare case involving a female serial killer in the country. India's first convicted female serial killer was K.D. Kampapama, who targeted distressed women at temples way back in the day.
Now, wait, I'm not trying to split hairs, and I know that officially to be a serial killer, you have to kill more than, I want to say, it's like 2 people over a period of time. But, like, I feel like if the only people you're killing are your family, it's awful. Mm-hmm. But in your mind, is that a serial killer?
In the recent slayings, the Thomas family, into which Joseph married, thought they were just cursed as a family.
Yes,
as
that's the most likely scenario.
Began to die one by one. In recent slayings, the Thomas family, into which Joseph married, thought they were cursed. The first was Joseph's mother-in-law, a retired school teacher. In August of 2002, she fell unconscious after a meal of mutton soup and died soon after. 6 years later, Tom, Joseph's father-in-law, died after eating a plate of tapioca. Neither of the deaths were investigated at the time. Next to be found dead was Joseph's husband of 14 years, Roy. In 2011, he died after throwing up at his meal and losing consciousness. Case was ruled a suicide when cyanide was detected in his body. 3 more members of the extended Thomas family died over the next 5 years. The sister-in-law, the person who was raised children for a while.
Jesus.
The husband's cousin. You name it. Either way, they caught her. She killed 6 different people over 10 years. More of the Random Question coming up. 844-999-OLA.
Hola.
The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.